Good morning, everybody. I can hardly contain myself. I've got two really good pieces of news. Number one, this Sunday morning, we will be meeting in the building. Live fellowship, live worship, live preaching, praying for each other. Of course, we're practicing the CDC guidelines. But the second great announcement is we're going to continue to record our services. So I've been able to connect with so many of you from one coast to the other. And so we're really excited about continuing to have our services at 10 a.m. Arizona time every Sunday going forward. Really exciting. I've had many of you ask, and I'll just hit it quick. You've been investing in the Rock Church here in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'll just keep it simple today. Thank you for your giving. God's in His Word said He loves cheerful givers. And what a season it's been of cheerful giving here and all around the country. But there's four ways to give on our website if you want to go see it. RockAG.com, RockAG.com. You can look it up there. Hey, got a lot of reports in for Mother's Day. What a powerful Mother's Day. We had a powerful Mother's Day at our house. It happened to be my birthday, but we tried to focus on Darla. We had to focus on Mama. And we did. Our family had church together, and it was one of the most memorable Mother's Days we've had in a long time. We're going to go going forward. We're going to start a series called Jesus Is. We'll be doing that for about 10 weeks. I've got several of the messages ready, really excited about that series. One, it's going to edify you, but I want it to inspire you to share with others as society is re-engaging. A phase at a time, we'll be able to tell people who Jesus is. They've got questions they want to know. So we're going to talk about who Jesus is for 8 or 10 weeks. Today, though, one of my favorite topics, and it really is, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to learn who the Holy Spirit is. Here, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And I want to challenge you today and going forward the next few weeks to get hungry to know who Jesus is, to get hungry to know God the Father. But I want you to just desire and get hungry to know God the Holy Spirit. So thankful for the Holy Spirit. You know, in some churches, the Holy Spirit's been forgotten. He's just a doctrine. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit's not just a Bible doctrine. The Holy Spirit is God. We believe that Jesus saves. We talk about it in part of my message every week, if not the entire message. Jesus saves. But then we believe also that the baptism of the Holy Spirit fills you and empowers you. And we're excited about that. You know, let's just pretend this is a package of Alka-Seltzer and, you know, inviting Christ in. And by the way, salvation is still the most important part. It's important to know that you can spend eternity in heaven. I believe that with all my heart. But you ask Jesus into your heart, and it can be kind of like this. And I know I dropped that packet in there and didn't open it. But let me tell you what the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is distinct. It's a distinct and subsequent experience from the salvation experience. And I know this doesn't even begin to show, but when you've been saved and then you've been filled or experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's more like that. It's like it's alive. It's like there's bubbling. It's like there's joy. It's like there's power. I mean, it's active. It's powerful. I wonder, as a born-again Christian, which one would you rather be? Would you rather be just born again and just go through the motions? Or I want to challenge you to get hungry today and seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's read. I want to read a few verses. Actually, I'm going to read 11 verses today from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. I'm reading from the ESV this morning in my message. Let's read together. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. To each, everybody say each, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these, listen to this now, verse 11, and we'll be through with the scripture. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Well, and you see in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and we've done an entire series on those three chapters, but Paul is instructing the church, the Spirit-filled church, in how to operate in all the gifts of the Spirit and how to understand it. And he's addressing a little confusion and a little misuse. The church in Corinth had been saved. They had received Christ as their Savior. They've been born again, and they've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they needed to learn how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says this simply, and I'm glad. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want to teach you what the being filled with the Spirit is about. And I know with all my heart, it's still an issue today. We still need to know. Yeah, we need to know God the Father. We need to know God the Son, Jesus. And we need to know. I want to inform you this morning, and I'm only going to be able to give you just an introduction today. But I want you to know God the Holy Spirit. I want you to know Him. Because, see, the Holy Spirit makes God tangible in our lives. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus a reality in our lives. We're going to learn that this morning. The Holy Spirit wants to come upon you. This morning, church, the Holy Spirit wants to come upon you. I may repeat this. In fact, I think it's not a one-time experience to be filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing experience. The Holy Spirit wants to move on us and through us, but He doesn't want to stop inside. He wants to move through us to touch a lost and dying world. And He gives us ministry tools. And we read about the nine gifts of the Spirit, tools that will empower the church, gifts of the Spirit that helps us minister to the world we live in. Jesus said this in John 16 and 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus always tells the truth. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. And He was speaking to the disciples right before He was to leave. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Who is this Helper? The original language says Paraclete, but the word is Helper. It means, Jesus said, I'm going to send one who will come alongside you to help. He's a helper. Jesus sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit. He helps us do everything. He'll help us do anything. He has sent the Helper to be tangibly with us and tangibly in us. He's sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to empower us to live the Christian life. And with the added dimension, He works through us as well. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank God. Thank God Jesus didn't leave us here just to do this thing on our own. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. Let me read that with you. For consider your calling, brothers, and I might add, sisters. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. I say this often. On our best day, we're weak. We're weak people in and of ourselves. I'm a weak man in and of myself. We need to learn to rely upon Him in every situation. We need to lean into Jesus and the grace of God on a daily basis. But I want to challenge you this morning to lean in to the Holy Spirit. If you don't know that, cry out for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Cry out for the moving of the Spirit in your life. Cry out to Almighty God that the helper, the Holy Spirit, will manifest in your life. Look, listen, there's no super saints in the kingdom. Anybody that's super is super because of Him. This is not for a few elect pastors or a few select men and women. The infilling, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is for every born-again believer. This is how Jesus chose to build His church. It's still how Jesus has chosen to build His church. Everyone can experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Everyone can experience the joy of knowing the Holy Spirit. Everyone can encounter and experience the Holy Spirit moving through you. It's not for just one or two. It's for everybody. Can I get an amen out there? Oh, it's so true. It's so true. So many times it's just a matter of dealing with maybe ignorance. We don't know. Or sometimes it might be fear. Or maybe many of you this morning have questions. But let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is not weird. God's not weird. Jesus is not weird. Holy Spirit's not weird. Now, when God moves, there's some unusual things that happen. There's signs and wonders and things that happen when God touches people. There's no question about that. But the Holy Spirit is not weird. You know, I'm talking about this encounter. Look, anybody, don't misunderstand me now. Stay with me. Anybody can experience the presence of God. The saved and unsaved. God can show up and touch and do things and you can go, wow, I had an encounter with God. I'm telling you, if you've made Jesus Christ your Savior, Lord and Savior of your life, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis and operate in that power. Look, the Holy Spirit's like, He's God, He's creative. And it's only the saved that He flows through. It's only the saved that He comes upon and flows through. It's the saved. It's those that made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior that He comes alongside and helps and empowers. But it's not a cookie cutter copy. We read that in the text. There's a variety of gifts, same Spirit. There's a variety of service and administration, the same Spirit. There's a variety of operations. We're all unique. We're all different. God made us all special. Let's make a few points this morning. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the promise from God the Father. Jesus said this in Luke 24:49. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Jesus said, God the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit to come upon you to the early church. In Acts 1:4-5, it says, and while staying with them, Jesus, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which you heard from me. And then Jesus said this, for John baptized with water, significant of salvation, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I'm going to read from Acts 1:8. It says, a few verses down, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. God the Father has promised that the Spirit would come upon believers in both scriptures and in many other scriptures for that matter. The Holy Spirit, after you've experienced the new birth, salvation in Christ, there, and I'll say this many times, there is another experience. There's another encounter. It's a distinct experience with God. It's a should be a subsequent experience with Almighty God called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's an endowment of power from Almighty God upon God's people. He will come upon you. He will work through you. And Almighty God gave the church this promise. Why would we live without this promise active in our life? See, it's a separate, that's the second point, it's a separate experience from salvation. Now, I'm aware that not everybody believes that, but the Bible clearly teaches that. In Acts chapter 8, Philip had gone to a place called Samaria, and he shared the gospel, and he shared Christ, and he prayed for people, and people in Samaria were getting saved as he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus. They were getting saved. They were getting healed. They were getting delivered. There was all kinds of things happening, and there were many believers that believed in Christ and made Jesus, Lord and Savior. And then we pick up, and I would challenge you, read the entire chapter. In fact, take these scripture references that I'm giving you today, go back, read them all, check it out, check the Holy Spirit out in the book of Acts. In Acts 8, verse 12, it says this, and I'll read through 17. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Watch this, verse 16. Saved. For he had not yet fallen on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, let me summarize that. Philip had been preaching. I mentioned that. They believed. When they believed, they followed the command to be baptized in water. What does baptized in water mean? It simply means this. Before Christ, I was standing in the world in sin. When I'm baptized in water, it's a symbol of what happened in my heart, that my sins died with Christ. When I come out of the water, and it's as Jesus is Savior, I've been raised. My sins are forgiven. My sins died with Christ, and I've been raised to new life in Christ. These believers had believed. They had made the Lord Jesus Christ their Savior. They've been baptized in water. They've received the Word of God. They're believing the Word of God. Listen, they are clearly, clearly in the Scripture saved from Philip's preaching. There is no question. But what happened here? News reached Jerusalem that they hadn't been filled with the Spirit. They're saved but not filled. So the early church and some of the church leaders said, hey, Peter, hey, John, go on down to Samaria and see what's happening down there and pray for those folks. And so they went down there, and we read it here in the scriptures, and we read it this morning. They prayed for them, and the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon their lives. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it says Simon and the disciples saw and heard. They heard something. They saw something. And it must have been tongues, because it had to have been tongues, because in all the other places in the book of Acts, it was always tongues. What's it got to do with other languages? It is always the initial physical evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And let me say this, initial. We read there's nine gifts, and we spent 10 weeks talking about nine gifts some time ago, but it is the initial physical evidence is praying in tongues when you've had this encounter with God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, 1 through 4, write it down, check it out. The Holy Spirit came down, came upon the early church, and they were, it says they were all filled and began to speak in other languages. You can check it out in Acts chapter 2, in Acts 10, and you can go to 44 and 46. You can see that this group of people were clearly believers. They had clearly made Jesus Christ their Savior. And when they were prayed for, the Holy Spirit filled them, came upon them, began to bubble up from within them. And the initial physical evidence is they began to speak in other languages. It said they spoke in tongues and began to praise God. They began to bubble. They had an encounter with the Holy Spirit after their born again experience. Let me read in Acts 19, 1 and 7. Look, it's a gift. It's the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift just like salvation. The gift of salvation saves you. The gift of the Holy Spirit empowers you. In church, if there's ever been a time, even this last 8 or 10 weeks and what our nation is going through, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the power to be witnesses. I believe with all my heart that young people and senior citizen people and people of all ages are going to want to know who Jesus is. And we need the power to tell them. We need the power to testify. We need the power to pray for them. We need the power to love them. We need the power to care for them. We need the power to discern. We need the power, church, of the Holy Spirit to reach this generation for Jesus Christ. We truly need His power like never before. And we read in another place, Acts 19, a few verses here, and it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Here we go again, believers. And he said this to them. Listen to this question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no. We've not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who would come after him. That is Jesus. They were believers. Watch this. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now watch verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands on him, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. Here it is again. They were all saved but not filled. They were all saved but not filled. The experience is for everybody. Would you rather be like this package of Alka-Seltzer, no Christ with no power, or you'd rather be like the Alka-Seltzer? And I know that's kind of a weak illustration. Look, I've got to. Don't you want everything God has for you? God the Father, He's a good Father. God Jesus, He saves, He saves, He washes, He cleanses, He forgives. And if you don't know Him this morning, make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And then God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said it, I'm going to send Him. I'm going to go to the right hand of the Father. And by the way, the scripture says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father this morning interceding for you and I. What a Savior that paid a price for our sins. What a Savior that prays for us in heaven by the Father even now. But the Savior Himself said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to empower my people and empower my church. Don't you want everything the Lord has for you? Why would you just want a little bit and not hold the whole thing? Why wouldn't you believe the entire Bible and not just part of it? I want to encourage you today to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are right here with me this morning. Others are at home. How do you do? Just begin to pray. Just begin to praise. Let Him come upon you. Speak in other languages. He's no respecter of persons. He'll do it for you. If you love Jesus, He'll empower you with His Holy Spirit. Because you see, when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, there is a release of power. Again, Acts 1 and 8 said, but you will receive power. The word power there in the early language, the Greek language, which the New Testament was written in, is the word dunamis. We get the word dynamite from dunamis. Jesus said, wait, Christian, wait, man of God. wait, woman of God, that there's the Comforter is coming. The Helper is coming. I'm going to be with the Father, but I'm going to send power so that you can witness. You see, there's a release of power. I've been talking about it the whole morning. And when that power is released upon you, and that power is released to you, there is a doorway. Everybody say doorway. There is a doorway, a pathway, an open way to the supernatural things of God. We can step beyond our natural. Look, Christians, we can't save, we can't heal, we can't help, we can't deliver, we can't set addicts free. With the power of the Holy Spirit working through us, people get saved. With the power of the Holy Spirit working through us, we can lay hands on the sick and the sick will get healed. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we can pray for people with addictions and they can come free. I believe it with all my heart. Because when we receive the power, it opens a doorway to the supernatural. Hallelujah. 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 We can enjoy the power of the Holy Spirit continually. Release of power enables us to do the works of Jesus. Jesus said this in John 14 and 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Does that blow your mind? Jesus said that about his church in the context that I'm teaching and preaching to you this morning. Said we would do the works of Jesus. Church, there's never been a time that we need the Holy Spirit more desperately than we do now. Again, listen, there's no super saints, just Spirit-filled saints that God wants to use in this hour. Here in Scottsdale, out at Apache Junction, in the Valley of the Sun, and all around the country. I want you just, when somebody crosses your path, just say, can I pray for you? Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's a need. Whatever it is, let the Holy Spirit work through you. The release of power enables us to experience the fullness of God. I touched on it earlier, and I won't take long now. Don't you want the fullness of God in your life, the fullness of Christ? Don't you want all the Lord has for you? If it's in here, I want everything God has for me. As your pastor, I pray, I want everything the Lord has for you. I've been praying over this message. I want you to get hungry for more. I want you to be uncomfortable if you haven't been walking in the power I'm talking about to some degree. If it's in the Bible, if it's in God's Word, if it's the promise from God the Father, for every believer, why wouldn't you want all that Jesus has for you? Ephesians 3 and 19 and 20 says this, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, watch this, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there's a release of power upon you. There's a release of power that comes through you. This is good. The baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome. Everybody say overcome. Everybody say overcome. So we all have something to overcome. I got to get up with me every morning and overcome the flesh. Dale wants to be in control. Dale wants to be in charge. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the flesh. The devil attacks on a regular basis. The scripture says that Satan roams to and fro seeking someone who devours. He's a tempter. He comes against us. We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the power to overcome. I need the power to have peace in situations like we're in our nation right now. We need the power. How many of you experienced temptation? All of us experience temptation. Sometimes temptation comes in like a flood. The scripture says it. We can overcome temptation when we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We can overcome the devil. We can overcome the flesh. We can overcome all the schemes. What am I trying to tell you? We need the power so that we can overcome. Because God has called us to be overcomers. The release of power allows us to pray supernaturally. Look, I'm going to tell you this. Once you've got the gift of speaking in tongues, I would encourage you to pray in tongues every day. The Spirit of the Lord, when He baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, we know how to pray. I can do an entire teaching on the benefits of praying in tongues. We pray in the will of God. We're praying the perfect will of God, the power of God. God knows what we're praying. I tell you, the release of power allows us to pray supernaturally. Romans 8 and 26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For when we do not know to pray for it like we ought, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And I know that can mean groanings and cries and heartfelt prayers. It can mean other languages. Would you agree this morning we need the power, church? Have you ever felt powerless? Have you ever felt a lack of power to witness? Look, it's a gift from God. It's a promise from the Father. And Jesus said He would send the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like hydroelectric power. Maybe as Christians, we are like a reservoir. You ask Christ to come into your heart, and the reservoir is complete. You've repented, you've confessed, you've invited Him in. But it's like a reservoir. You've asked Him to come in, and He's in. And your heart's been changed, and your life's been transformed. And you have the potential to do something powerful for the Lord. But just like any reservoir, until the floodgates are opened, until the gates of the dam are open and the water flows through, there's no power. That describes many Christians. They're saved, they've got Christ, they know Christ, they love Christ. But there's a lack of power. This morning, the Holy Spirit wants those floodgates open. So I'm telling you this morning, the floodgates of heaven are open, and you've got great potential. But I've taught you just one simple truth in the Scripture today. There's a distinct and subsequent experience to the experience of salvation called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's for every believer. Open the gates this morning. Let Him empower you. Let Him baptize you so that as you serve the Lord, you will be effective. So that as you serve the Lord, you will be powerful. And let me just say it. I mentioned it once and I'm closing. It's not a one-time deal. As you go to Him in the morning or in a good church service or something, He fills and He refills. You know why? He wants us to return to the source. We need to go to the Father every day of our life. We need to go to Jesus, God Jesus, every day. And we need to go to God, the Holy Spirit, every day. So I ask you, just the way we started this message, Is this all you want? Or this morning, and maybe before this morning and always, have you decided that you want more? That you want everything God has for you? I want to pray for you this morning. Which do you prefer? The choice is yours. I want to pray with you this morning. Before we go, we pray here in church. We prayed every week on a video. If you haven't made Christ Lord and Savior of your life, follow me in this prayer. This morning, mean it from your heart. And it's a short prayer. Stay in the presence of the Lord this morning if you've come to give your heart to Him, and follow after me. Dear Lord Jesus, You've been dealing with me for some time. I know You love me. I know that You even have a plan and purpose for my life. I need a Savior. I confess my shortcomings to You this morning, Lord Jesus. I confess my sins to You today, Jesus. I'm asking that You forgive my sins and wash me clean. I'm inviting You into my heart now to be Lord and Savior of my life. Come in, Jesus. I am Yours, and now You are mine. If you said that prayer and meant it, you've been saved this morning. Another work of the Spirit. He comes in and changes your heart. John chapter 3, born again. Saves you for eternity and changes the desires of your heart. I want to encourage you just to walk with Him and cultivate a relationship with Him. Now I want to pray, and if you just made that decision, you could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the same time. There's many of you out there this morning, though, that need the experience I taught you this morning. And I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray over you. And I believe that the Lord is going to fall upon so many of you this morning. But I'm going to challenge you too to get up in the morning or stay up at night or whatever's a good time for you. Read the scriptures. Study the scriptures that I gave you this morning if you're still not sure. And get hungry for the Holy Spirit. Get hungry for all God has for you. Oh, He can fill you right now. He could fill you in a big room. I was filled with a room full of people. He can fill you at your home all alone. He can fill you taking a hike. It can happen so many ways, but get hungry and seek God in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to pray over you right now. I want you to, if you're hungry for a fresh baptism, some of you have already had that experience. Maybe you need a fresh baptism, but for others, maybe it's that first time. I want you to stand where you are, all over this place, all over the country. I want you to stand if you're hungry. And I just want you to cup your hands, lift your hands to the Lord. And I'm going to pray over you. I'm not going to lead you in a prayer. You can pray with me as I pray through this screen today. But I'm going to believe that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit fall upon your life. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, for every listener this morning, I pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've prayed for salvation and we trust you, Jesus, for salvation. Now, Lord, you said you sent the Holy Spirit, and we've seen it in the scripture over and over. And as people lift their voices and their hearts and their heads to heaven, I pray for you to baptize them with the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you come upon them. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you bubble up from within them. I pray right now, Lord, a baptism is a soaking from head to toe. I pray for the powerful baptism of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And I'm not through praying, but you've got to open your mouth in your home. You've got to open your mouth and you just got to begin to speak. Lord, I pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking and praying in tongues in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, baptize everyone, Lord, every man, every woman, even children this morning. Lord, fill them, baptize them with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Now you don't have to stop. I may have just got you started. Seek God. Enjoy the presence of God right now. Some of you are enjoying the presence of God in your home. I'm going to say goodbye till next week, but you stay, you stand, you stay there in the presence of the Holy Spirit until He gets done with you, until He's through. Hey, love every one of you. Love being in church with you. Love being together. Love connecting with all y'all around the country. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you. Bye-bye now.